This is Be the Solution podcast with Maria Quattrone, and today I'm welcoming my guest, Sammy Knight. Welcome, good, Sammy.
Good morning. I brought my coffee, like you said. So
I wanted to be in a business that I did not have a ceiling. Take a pen and a piece of paper. Draw a line. Draw another line next to it. At 365 days, if you drew 365 lines, you started here with one line. But look how far you've come.
Good morning, Sammy. I'm excited to talk with you this morning.
Good morning. What an honor to be on your podcast. I've been following you since last year. I'm going to jump right in and start yakking, if that's okay.
Let's go. Giddy up.
I was so inspired by you a year ago when COVID hit and Pennsylvania shut down real estate and it wasn't essential. And I thought, man, what would I do? And I watched you because our state didn't close down, neither one of the states that we operate in. And they viewed it as essential. And I thought, man, every day, what would I do? And I would listen to you. And we'd have those calls with John on Sundays, and I was like, man, how's she do it? So you inspired me to keep driving, and we had a record year last year.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, but thank you.
Thank you.
For doing what you did. That was just over the top.
So I talk about that when I bring people in. We're interviewing right now and growing, and I talk about it. I said, you know, they shut us down on March 20th. We had the podcast and the name of the podcast up at by April 1. So in 10 days, we made some moves. And, you know, for somebody like myself, who's an active person out in the community, to be in the house for literally 10 weeks, because I was afraid of the virus too. And I was listening to what I was told to do, right? Stay in and be non-essential. I didn't agree with the non-essential, though. I mean, I was very vocal about that. I believe that, you know, everybody has a right to shelter and should have a right to buying, selling a home or renting something at any given time, regardless of whatever else is going on in the world. You know, we could go to Walmart, but you couldn't buy a house with two people in it and an agent. So that I couldn't figure out. But you're in Mississippi, and you have not only a Remax offices, but also mortgage and
property management and an appliance services business.
I want to talk to you today, Sammy, about, because you've actually, you don't hold a real estate license. Is that correct?
That's correct. I let the pros do what the pros do, and I do what I do best, and that's try to make sure the backside of the business is sound and solid, and then keep the front side of the business fresh for the agents and the brokers to do their job, and the loan originators, and so on and so forth.
So I remember, I think it was, we were all together in October, which was nice to get together with John in October for that one day event. And we happened to have an opportunity to sit in a room together right prior to that. And I remember listening to you saying you never held a real estate license, yet you have all these businesses around real estate, and you are an entrepreneur for 40 plus years. So I want to dig into that. And how do you do it? Like, I can't. That whole operation side is this. If I could have you in Philadelphia with me, Sammy, we would be.
You're a sweetheart. My gosh. We'd knock it out.
Oh my gosh, it'd be the biggest thing that ever happened. But you know, joking aside, I'm serious. I'm really intrigued by the work that you do and how you do it and how it all came about.
You know, I was in corporate America for a fair amount of time, and I had little businesses on the side. And then I went through a period of time where I was an owner in a business, a minority owner. And two things stayed in my mind. One, the most valuable asset every company has is people. And two, I didn't think I was a good employee. Because I was very opinionated. I would give you my answers sometimes without you asking for them. And those were usually the biggest challenges. But, you hear over the years people say, you know, the most important thing about selling a house is three things: location, location, location. To me, the most important thing about business is people, people, people. And so I got tired of seeing corporate America. And there's nothing wrong with corporate America other than it didn't fit me. I got tired of seeing people get hurt when it didn't really need to happen. And I'll give you a great story, the one that really stuck to me, and pretty much when I headed off into the path that I'm in now. We had I was working at a company, a corporation, and the budget, we had 1 month left in our fiscal year, and we were going to fall short. And so I was called into a meeting, and I was running the sales side, called into a meeting, and they said, we need to let one person go in your division. And I probably had, I don't know at that time, I probably had 200 or 300. And I said, one? What do you mean one? And it needs to be this person. She's the junior person. Her name was Lynn. I'll never forget this. I can see her face today. And I said, well, we're a month away. Let us do something to correct, do a correction and pick our sales up somehow real quick. Give us a week to put a plan together and knock this out with 3 or 4 weeks to go. No, best thing to do is for us to let her go. So I called her on the phone, flew in, met her, let her go. Month later, the fiscal year was over. We made our number, and they called me in and said, hey, you can go ahead and hire her back. And I said, what? We let somebody go for 30 days, and we could have fixed that. No, not me. I can still see her face every day of my life. The expression, I mean, it just, it haunts me sometimes. And so I said, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I embarked on some different opportunities, if you will. And some I did pretty good and some I didn't do very good. And I learned from each step of the way. I got into real estate. I had moved back to my hometown, and I was going to buy and sell land and, you know, sell smaller tracts, buy a big tract, sell smaller tracts, and flip property. And so I called a friend of mine that was a local real estate agent I grew up with, and I said, hey, I want you to sell my land, and this is what I want to do. Did I tell you this story?
Yeah. She didn't want to walk it.
Yeah, she came out in her high heels her skirt, and I'm like, where's your boots? Anyway, long story short, she said, you're so good at this, you ought to buy my business. I said, I will. Sell it to me. And she did. And so the transaction occurred, and she said, who's going to be your broker? And I said, me. Well, do you have a license? I went, no, I'll just go down to the courthouse and get it. She said, no, it's a little harder than that. And she went through it. And I said, well, then you do it until I get my license. And she said, that's why I'm selling it. And suddenly I owned a business and I couldn't operate it. So I grabbed a guy. I think I scared him when I jumped out in the hall like Spider-Man and said, hey, I hear you're a broker. You want to be my partner? And he looked at me about like Lynn did that day. And anyway, to his credit, he did. And that's how we got started. And in Mississippi, the laws, you couldn't own the business as an agent, as a broker, or as a non-professional, you could. And so I would have had to give up the business somehow, you know. I could have given it to my wife or whatever, but or run the business. And I thought, you know, the people that have gone the distance to get here, and all I did was buy it, I'm going to trust them. And that's been probably the foundation that we've grown from. And so every day brings a new challenge. Yesterday I had some pretty decent ones with people, and it's how you work through them. But I value people. It's just like me watching you go through the challenges that you went through. I learned so much because I was like, man, look at the up against the wall, and she didn't fight her way out. She drove herself out, and I just think that's cool. So that's kind of how it happened. And then I just kept listening, you know. Hey, do you have a property management? Do you own any rental properties? My client wants to have a place to live. And you know, so all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, let's get in the property management business. And I don't know anything about it, but I found the right people. And now we have, between HOA management and long-term rentals, we have about 2,500 properties.
How long ago did you start that enterprise?
I started that, another funny story. I started that, we're in our 12th year now. And I started it as a small little enterprise inside of the real estate office. And it was generating enough money to pay the person that was doing the work. And anyway, she had set up a management element with, I mean, a management contract with a person that had a big, nice condo. And we were getting $2,500 a month rent. And I thought, all right, we're hitting the lottery now. This is good. We're moving forward. And the tenant that went in there damaged the building, I mean, the house, the unit, very bad. And then had to be evicted because she stopped paying. Well, I went in with the owner, and floors were scratched, and it was a brand new unit, and it was about a $10,000 appeal. And I felt, I didn't owe it, you know, based on terms of our agreement, but I felt like I did, so I paid it. And my goal was to just get that 10 grand back, and then I was going to close it and say, okay, I'm good to go. And as we grew the business to expand and make a little more money, it cost a little more. And then I found us eating each other. There were two or three other little small entities like ours. And if we got their business, we had to cut the price, or they got our business, you know. You're not going to make everybody happy. We try to, but not everybody. And so I called the other two owners and I said, hey, let's have lunch. And so we sat down to lunch. And I said, look, I got a proposition. We're eating each other. This is crazy. We either need to, and I don't believe in talking about what I charge and what you charge. I don't believe in that. I said, what we need to do is merge. And so to their credit, they agreed. And I said, the only challenge we have is there's three of us and one of us has to be the bad guy. So I'm more than willing to do that, or I'm willing for one of y'all to do that. And so to their credit, they said, fine, you do it. Then we bought one of the partners out, and now there's two of us still in it. And it's great. It's one of my partnership success arrangements. This is a young man that's 20 years. He's great to work with. He has a lot of piss and vinegar and energy, and there's a lot of times he calls me on a Sunday in a fit of rage, and I'm like, yeah, oh man, I don't blame you. I totally agree with that. I would do that, but do me a favor, let's write it down, and then you call me in the morning so we can kind of tweak it. And he'd call me in the morning, he'd say, you know, I think I'm going to hold off on sending that letter. I'm like, okay, well, that's fair. So he thinks I'm brilliant. All I did was let him cool down before he made a big mistake, you know. But it's a great little partnership, and he works very hard, and we have a great team there. I think we have 10 employees and, I don't know, four or five part-time employees, depending on the time of the year. And it's very good. And I got into mortgage the same way. You know, man, you need to be in the mortgage business. And Motto came along, and I thought, okay, well, let me look into this. So I couldn't find the right person because I'm not a licensed loan originator. And the brokers told me, they said, hey, there's this person, her name's Nina Harrison, and that's who you need to get. But you can't get her. She'll never leave. You'll never get her. And boy, that was just a challenge to me. It was like, I can't.
So who's Nina?
So I had coffee with her.
What is Nina doing?
Nina's a loan originator. She's our mortgage loan originator.
Wait, what was she doing?
Our broker now, but
before you got her,
she was a loan originator at another mortgage house, a retail house, as a matter of fact, and killing it.
Absolutely big
killing it. Oh, big producer. And I kind of got lucky on that one because, and I didn't know this going in, but she wasn't writing any business with Remax at the time, with our Remax offices. So that was a good offer. And, you know, the introduction to 150 agents and that, and 9 months later, we put it together. I wouldn't, if I was going into battle, I'd want her right beside me. I mean, she is mean as a junkyard dog, but smooth as silk. Just really, really, really good at what she does. And she works very, very hard. So, great success partnership.
Why did she leave?
You know, if I asked her that
it's really
today,
hard somebody like that to leave where they are. They're a really big producer. And it's not just like you're saying, hey, come over here. You obviously had a great opportunity, but there's a lot that goes into that. It's not just, you know, you putting your smile on and doing the Sammy charm.
Well, I think we were able to give her an opportunity that she didn't see there where she was. And then she's been doing it for 20-something years, 30 years, she'll tell you, but I think it's about 26. Anyway, she saw that opportunity to work closer with higher sales. And, a $300,000 closing takes just the same amount of work as a $100,000 one. And so it just improved her mix. I think that's one thing she saw. I also think she saw, I gave her a piece of the business. Like I say, it's a partnership. I think she saw the upside for owning some of it. And her commitment, once again, was she takes on the front side of the business and I'll take on the back side and the challenges of financials and all that kind of stuff. And we kind of hit it off. You know, we just, both of us had a little bit of the same kind of tenacity, you know. It took a while, 9 months, but I think we were able to present an opportunity for her for the future that works. And, you know, we may talk every other week where we pick up the phone and call and say, hey, let's catch up. But there might be a text here and a text there. And she's a great partner. I love good, strong partnerships. I hate bad ones, just like everybody else. And I've had those.
Yeah, that's all part of the business, right? I'm curious.
Yeah, it is. I think you got to make sure that. Go ahead.
No, finish, please.
Oh, I just think you, in a partnership, you've got to make sure that each contributes. And what is that? You know? And you set those rules on the front end and say, this is what you're going to do and this is what I'm going to do. And you, it's hard, but you don't cross bounds. It's easy for me because I'm not licensed. I can't cross the bounds because I break some rules. And my broker or the LO break a rule too, you know. So
I'm curious why you went with a Motto Mortgage.
So,
can you hear me?
Versus
a JV.
I'm going to step out. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, I said, I'm curious why you went with Motto Mortgage versus forming a JV with another mortgage broker or starting an in-house branch with somebody else. Like, why was that the choice?
I'm going to walk outside if you don't mind. I'm a franchise fan. I look at it kind of like me. I'm not licensed. I'm not the pro or the typical broker owner operator, and it doesn't make the typical broker owner operator bad. You're going to hear some birds singing, so I apologize, but my way out of the country where I live, so sometimes the signal gets bad. It gave me a big brother brands, you know, and I like that foundation to build from. So, did I lose you? You're back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
There's a little bit of delay. That's what happens when you live in the country with all those beautiful trees behind you.
You hear what I said? Yeah.
No, I think you were better in the house.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. It's nice to get away.
There's a delay.
Was I okay? I'll go back. I'll go to the front porch.
Oh, that's better, Sammy. I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm going out front. Hang on. How's this?
This is good.
How's this? Okay.
Good.
Sorry about that, folks. I apologize.
That's okay. I like you have your Remax shirt on.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I'm a brand fan.
I love it.
S on my chest, right?
It looks good. Looking sharp.
Thank you. No, I like the foundation that the franchise gave, and I wasn't knowledgeable enough in the mortgage business to go it alone, and so it worked good. It's been a great relationship.
That's fantastic. So, what did you look for in a partner?
Somebody that could contribute, and add to my weaknesses. And that was, in this instance, it was the mortgage background and, knowledge and license and all the above. She knew how to quite well. She knows how to get the business, and close. And that's what I needed. And I needed somebody that we kind of gelled, you know, and that our fit was a compliment to one another, not both of us doing the same thing and one-upsmanship. You know, I see so many partnerships start to fail, and it's real easy to ask the simple question and say, well, what did y'all agree to when you came on? And or came together, and oftentimes it's the agreement they had, they changed the rules, one or the other or both. Mm-hmm. And when you visit with them and you say, well, why? And usually they can't answer, but 90% of the time I can tell you one ego got in the way of the other one. And so you got to stay true to what you committed to. And if you ever have a challenge with your partner in business, it's just like in life, address it. Don't wait. There's no truer words. And don't go to sleep on being mad. You know, address it. And look, if it falls apart because you addressed it, you really didn't have one. So I just think that that element was so instrumental in the success of the both the relationships that I currently have today. Works real good.
Ain't that the truth? If it falls apart, if you bring it to attention, then it was never there to begin with.
Yeah, I tell a lot of people too, you know, if you sit down with a future partnership and you walk away and you're not just excited about the person sharing your business with you, then think hard before you get into it. It's a feel. You know, we do so many things, and Maria, you're the master of this, but it's a feel. And if it feels right, most likely it's right, you know. But if it feels wrong, don't try to drive that square peg in that round hole, because
every single time it bites you in the butt.
Yeah, it does. And I love a good partnership because it allows you to do some of the things you want to do and expanding. Like for me, I'm looking for another opportunity right now. But
what do you think that'll be?
Well, I'm in the process of opening another RE/MAX office in another town. And, they start tearing out the walls next week, actually.
Oh, wow. How many agents now are in your office?
We have 120-something. I had an office in my hometown of Oxford, and I had a young man that's worked with me for 13 years in Oxford. And he came to me last year and said, "Have you ever thought about selling your business here?" And I said, "To the right person." And he said, "Am I the right person?" I said, "I think you are." And, you know, I'm getting old, and I love buying them and building them and growing them, and but I also love seeing the next generation have their opportunity. And, you know, he told me, he said, "I don't know if I can even pay." And I said, "We'll figure that out. That's the easy part. Let's just figure out if you really want to have one and what your future is and what your plans are." And so we worked out a deal, and I couldn't be more proud of him. He is doing a bang-up job running the business. And he's a broker owner, but he's not the managing broker. He kept the managing broker on that was with me. And they're just doing great. So if I can help him grow, then I did one thing I was supposed to do.
That's excellent.
Yep.
So he's now running. So he now owns that RE/MAX office, and you're opening another?
I am. He owns the one in Oxford, Mississippi, and I'm opening one in, me and the firm broker and brokers out of Memphis in our Germantown, Collierville, and Highway 64 office are opening this fourth one. And that's another thing I'd like to speak about is partners are great. Great associates you can't beat, and I'm so fortunate to have great brokers in our business out of Memphis, and they work very hard and they're very driven. And the thing I love about them is they tell me when I'm wrong, and I like that. You know, you gotta convince me I'm wrong. I'm a little harder headed, but they tell me when I'm wrong and when they need a different kind of help. And that's valuable. Oftentimes we have associates involved in our business and they're afraid to speak or afraid to be honest. We think they are, you know, but boy, it's valuable when they'll be honest and say, "You know what? You're a boob. You're an absolute idiot for doing that. I like that. And don't wait. Tell me now. Let me fix it. Tell me why I am." And I love that. So
that's kinda cool. That's where the growth happens, right? Like, not saying how right you are, and poke holes in my theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody have the balls
yeah.
to tell me that I am wrong or here's why. And this is a better way. Right.
I can't say it any better than that. It's have the balls. The one thing I'll say about our brokers in Memphis, they have big ones and they're not afraid to, use them. And, you know, that's our success is, we're real good at allowing people to do what they do best. I had a meeting yesterday with one of our admin folks and sweetest lady on earth. And somewhere along the way, she got a little gun shy of me. And I thought, man, I did something wrong. So I called her in and I sat her down and we talked. And she couldn't understand why I was moving her down a different path. Because I wanted to see how she could handle it. And the path I was taking her down is, in the past, her business, one of her business responsibilities for the company was photography, taking pictures of houses and doing this, and then putting them on the website and MLS and virtual tours. And that world's changed. And so I'm leading her down a path of video and trying to coach her on making sure that she tells the person she's videoing, hey, let's try this a little different. She's a very creative person. And so she came to me and she said, am I just not doing the pictures right? And I said, no, that job's going to go away one day. And I need you to be able to be just as sorry about the dog barking. That's called living in the country. I said, I need you to step up to the next opportunity in this business. And to me, it's, as we've all learned from John, taking a sledgehammer and pounding us right here in the head, video, 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 which is right. Video's the next step. And then how do we improve our social media connection? And so I've headed her down that path. She's doing great. She just looked scared, you know, so it made her intimidated. And I was like, boy, shame on me if I did that. But thanks for telling me, you know, I'll handle it a little different next time. But just the challenges of the day, but people still critical. I go back to what I said from the start, you know, and then a piece of advice I'd give everybody is don't be afraid to listen to your peers. They are amazing and they'll help you not make the same mistakes. I go back to you, Maria. I mean, it's what I saw you do. I listened to you and I didn't send you a lot of notes and I didn't text you or call you and say, help me be better. I listened to you with my mouth. I kept my mouth shut so my ears would work better. And I thought, okay, that's a challenge. Now watch her work, see how she does it. And so listen to your peers. Or your competitors, if you value them as a competitor, listen to them. See what they're doing. Because I promise you, they're listening to you.
I love having both colleagues, peers, and competitors on the show. I learn so much every time I have the podcast. And it's really interesting. And I shared this with the group a few weeks ago. Sometimes on Sundays, I get a little flustered with all the 50 people in the Brady Bunch thing staring at you. This is like easier for me, believe it or not, being live than on the 50 video people thing. But I said one of the things that has happened is that because this is not a contrived show and there are no questions. I have to intensely listen to people, which has made me, I think, a better boss and interviewer. So I on the phone, when I do my phone calls, because I do that before I have people come in, and then I can eliminate somebody I think would be a good fit for our community or not. And then when I have them here in the office, I can look them straight in the eye and see if they look me straight back when I'm having a conversation. And if I'm trying to hear what they're saying by what they're not saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, great advice.
Which is was a difficult skill for me prior to the last 100 and some interviews.
Yeah, you know, we're salespeople first. We have a lot of folks that say, no, I'm an engineer and I'm something else and something else. We wake up every day selling, somehow, selling an idea, whatever. And because of that, we have a tendency to lead with our mouth, not with our ears. And when we learn the skill of listening, boy, we become so much better. And I've enjoyed watching you do that in a year. Now you're very successful, but you picked up on the art and the skill, and you're doing a great job with it. And I just want to keep watching it.
Oh, thank you. We're still a work in progress always, right?
Yeah.
Always be learning. And one of the things I learned through this past couple of years is, and it's still like every day I have to remember and think about it, is the controlling of the emotion, keeping things steady, not getting too high, not getting too low. And I was a person who fed off of like.
Yeah.
Right? And I was so used to being in that kind of state. But learning to be in a calmer state and just being in the flow, it's another difficult thing for somebody who was always, I'm sure plenty of people who operate like that. But once you can step back and surrender, it's a different way to live. I think it's probably maybe, less heart attacks will happen.
I think that's right. And I think watching you and so many others during the pandemic turn into leaders, that's cool. And that's what a leader does. You learn how to control the tempo when the tempo needs to be controlled.
Right.
And matter of fact, I talked to a young man not long ago. He's a local law enforcement officer, and he's very good at what he does. Very good at what he does. And but his captain doesn't like him because he's playful at work around him in the times when he shouldn't be. So he doesn't know when's it time to turn it off and when's it time to turn it on. And so I had a talk with him about it. And I think he's going to be better. But that's as you move into leadership, you learn how to control that. But hey, look, don't lose that as you use your hands. Don't use that. Don't lose that, because when you need that now, it's even more valuable than before, Sometimes that energy is the key to success at a pretty tough time. So
yeah, now's a little bit of a tough time. Yesterday, in our sales meeting, I shared a little video that I had found, and it was one of these TED Talks, and it talked about how, if you're not having a good day, people will say, if you smile, it's contagious and people will smile back and it'll make you feel better, right? So it makes you feel better, but it gives other people something. When it talked about changing your body physiology by the way that you stand and the way you present. And usually people talk about it so that you can feel that. But this was all about us feeling that. So I said to everybody, up, we all stood up. And then we held the Wonder Woman. You know the Wonder Woman pose?
Yeah.
Right? The Wonder Woman pose. I said Superman, Wonder Woman. The Wonder Woman pose. And I said, just by doing that for 2 minutes, how much more powerful do you feel? And I have several new people. And I said, okay. So before this career, everybody basically, nobody at this that was in the meeting has just come out of college or high school. So they all had some kind of job before this career. I said, let's go back and take a borrowed belief from when you started in that last place and you didn't know anything. And then 6 months, you knew something. Do you remember that feeling? So let's bottle that up and take that today. Because we need to go back to get our borrowed belief that where we're going to our future. I said, it's the same thing for me, right? I'm finding the borrowed belief from something. When I started in real estate and I was getting all these opportunities for listing property. Now it's the same thing. What did that feel like when I start to master that? Same thing as bringing in people into the company, working on that borrowed belief from then. So yeah,
that's cool. This is
little things, right, Sammy? I mean, it's not about like these big dramatic things that are going to happen. We hear somebody say all the time, tiny hinges swing big doors, right? The little tweaks that make the big difference.
Yeah, it is. You mentioned about a smile in your deal yesterday. A fellow told me a long time ago, he said, give that smile to everybody you see. Because that's the only thing you've got that nobody can take away. Only you can give it. Oh, man, that's pretty powerful. But if that smile makes for a better day and it makes them relax and they can think about just like you're saying. So I have one bad comment about mask. They took away my smile.
Yeah.
And now I find myself, of course, we don't wear them as often, but I found myself not too long ago, I'd see somebody, I'd take it down, smile at them, and put it back on, you know. And those little things, little tiny things, make such a big difference in somebody else's day. And so don't ever lose sight of that.
Yeah, it's the little things. Little things that make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look at it and say, what's something that I can do today to make a change in one person's life, brighten it up? Because we don't know what's going on with everybody. There could be, you know, a marriage breaking up or a death in the family or somebody just got bad news about their health. And then they're really angry and they call the real estate office and they're yelling about something. And then you're like, wait, we're just the real estate office. But we're not just the real estate office. We're in the people business and in the relationship business. And it's not really about real estate. It's about the relationships. And I wish I would have known that 15 years ago. Not that I didn't know, but I think a lot of times, Sammy, we think short term about like this year, this month, this week versus 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And what's your suggestion for people to understand that? Or, I mean, you have a lot of wisdom and getting people to buy into that, you know. I even talk about it about like your brand, right? Your brand is not today. You have to think about it for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, whatever. And how do you get past like the day to day? Like, does that make sense? I don't know.
It does. No, it does. What I do is I stay very close to my past in my mind so that I can constantly build my future. You've done it as long as I have in as many industries as I have. Your past is your, like when I was a kid, your past is your lesson book. And we look in those lessons for how do we make sure that tomorrow is in a position that it's bright, builds, grows, so on and so forth. And so I stay close to my past, not to repeat, but to improve. And when I see situations every day that have an impact, I'm a lot better at saying, how can I overcome that for tomorrow, 20 years from now, 10 years from now? Because I think we make a lot of mistakes. We get in the fix-it business, and we fix it today. And you really have to fix it for tomorrow and beyond. And so it's a mindset. And if that makes sense, I mean, that's just kind of where my...
Yeah. So how do you stay close to your, I know this is, might sound stupid, but how do you stay close to your past?
Well, I've got a pretty good memory, and I remember all of the lessons I learned, some good, some not so good, but always they had a benefit. And, as I learn new lessons, if you will, I put them in my memory bank and say, well, I'm not going to do that again, but this is how I overcame it before. But the next time I'm going to overcome it in a better way than I did before. So some people forget the past, and maybe there's elements of the past you have to, but I don't. Because if you think about it, that's the one thing that's a known. I did that. So it's not a make-believe pipe dream out here, And I haven't run across anything in the past 5 or 10 years that I haven't seen before. So that tells me that either I've done everything out there or I'm getting really old. But I just try every day to remember what that challenge was, if I had one, and what did I do to overcome it, and what could I have done to overcome it better. And I think through those all day long. I don't have an office in any of the buildings. I sit down at a conference table, or I sit in my pickup in the parking lot. And so I have good think time. I do a lot of driving. And I have great think time. But before I end my day every day, what were the challenges, and what did I do, and what did they do, and how do we overcome them if they occur again, if we didn't do it the right way this time? And I lock them back before I close my day. And then I go inside and do everything. I have a great marriage and relationship with my wife. And I'll give everybody the best advice I can. All the men, do absolutely everything your wife tells you to do. If you will, you should be fine. No, that's just, when you find that mate, remember she or he was your girlfriend or your boyfriend first, and don't stop letting that happen. Always be boyfriends and girlfriends, because that was always fun. So that's my advice.
Before all the stuff came along, you said something that is very interesting to me about how you think about your day every day. I don't think most of us, well, I only can speak for myself. I don't probably think about the day after the day. I think I need to spend more time in thought than in action.
So do you remember the big initiatives in the past? You might not be old enough to remember them like I do. Time management was a big training environment years ago, and Franklin Covey gave the best time management tools and all. And one thing, I went through one of the seminars, and I had a planner, and I was religious about it. And the one thing that stuck in my mind years ago when I took that was, you know, you're going to have a to-do list that sometimes gets a little full for the day and you can't finish it. And they always said, make sure the last thing you do is move your to-do list from today to tomorrow before the end of the day. And I took that in my mind to say, think about your day and then prepare tomorrow.
Right.
And so that's where I started that. And that was probably 30 something years ago.
Great. My to-do list from yesterday that I wrote last night for today. I still have, guess what? This is the last week of the book.
Hey.
I got it remarkable.
Go.
It's coming on Friday.
There you go.
Next week at the event, I'll be at a no more book. Although I might have to bring it for backup just in case, but that might, I don't know. I'm a writer in the book.
Good for you. But as you write tomorrow, think about today. It's a
right. Think about what, you know, I should write down all the positive things that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should write down all the positive things that happen. Because a lot of positive things happen.
Yeah, go ahead. You're right. Remember, negative things that finish positive are powerful.
Yes, all of it.
Yeah. No, I
we
agree.
I want to write more. I know it's important to write more and to carve out a little more time in my day to just sit and think.
It doesn't take long.
Like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's, you know, we think about, I was talking to a young lady that works with us in the mortgage business, and she is such an unbelievable talent. Her name is Lainey, and we're talking about her marketing a little more, and I told her, I said, find 10 minutes, not an hour, not 7 days means I get 70 minutes on Sunday, 10 minutes today. To improve your reach, just 10. Because the first day you do it, those 10 minutes, you're going to be totally lost. And you're going to try to do too much, and you may not even accomplish one thing. But if you do it every day, 30 days from now, you'll go, golly, I'm getting so much done in those 10 minutes. Man, it's just repetition and training the brain, and it's just like thinking about the successes today or the positives. It's just training the brain. It's a tool.
I like the 10 minutes of thinking in the morning in the shower. It's 10 minutes at the end of the day that I need to put my schedule to make sure I do. The morning 10 minutes are good, or even the short walk to my office. I walk to my office.
Nice.
Yeah, for now anyway. Well, I've been walking here, but I'm trying to buy a new house. Not a new house. That's been a challenge, I should say. Even for the best real estate people, when you're, you know, I don't know, unless you start weaving inspections on a big on these big houses, it looks a little scary to me, but.
Well, I'm in the process of renovating my childhood home to give to my youngest son, and it's the first time I think I've ever really gone through a labor of love. So, changing things around, you know, everything I do different is like, boy, I wonder if my parents would agree with this. And I call my sister over, and I'm like, come over here and look at this, and she looks at it. My first question, she's like, oh, it's beautiful, I love it, and I'm like, No. Would our parents agree with this? You know, I'm still looking for that check mark of approval, you know. So buying that house that you're looking at, and my heart's with you because I think it's such a cool thing to do. And I think that may be why I love real estate is, man, just think about the changes that we make in people's lives.
I do. I realized that more so over pandemic, through the last year, of how blessed and grateful we are. Well, I am, like, and appreciative of the opportunity to impact so many families. You know, and right now, if you're looking for a single family home in the suburbs of Philadelphia, it's a challenge at best with the lack of inventory, and you have to be patient and got to just keep putting bids in. I feel for the buyer agent community, because a lot of work, you know, a lot of perseverance right now.
Yeah, that's my heart goes out to especially those first time home buyers. They're going through a never before seen experience that is so frustrating. And I think that real estate agents today have to be very careful, and I think most of them are, but to steal a term from the medical field, their bedside manner has to be spot on to keep these young folks calm and say, look, it's because the perfect home for y'all has not been found yet. Let's keep looking. And you almost have to be a therapist to these first-time home buyers, because it would be real easy to say, oh, screw it, I'll just rent, you know?
It's critical that they do get a house, though, because I believe over time, home ownership is going to become even more difficult. You know, you have companies like these REITs coming in, and they just bought, for example, I think it was D.R. Horton, if I'm not mistaken. They built a big community. It was supposed to be a for sale community. And they came in, swiped up all of it for rental product.
Yeah.
So it's and then, you know, they don't talk about the what happened in the 2008 to crisis to 10 around there, when they sold hundreds of thousands, I think, of homes to these big companies for pennies, 10 cents on the dollar. That inventory is never coming back to market. And that's the first time home buyer inventory that is no longer going to be available, which is one of actually the key reasons why there's a shortage in this inventory today.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. And look, I'm in the rental business. We mainly rent to college students. We're in a college town. But I remember my first home so well. I had to borrow money from my dad and my father-in-law for the down payment. I couldn't get them paid back fast enough. I felt dirty, you know. I remember it. But today, what a dream to have your home, and hopefully it won't go crazy and we'll always have those opportunities.
I'm hoping that more people decide to come to market in all price ranges, because they have the, if they wanted to get the COVID shot, that they got it and they feel safe, and that we can kind of open up. So we'll see what the next couple months bring to the real estate market. I hope interest rates stay pretty low, so it keeps things moving. But
I think rates will stay good. I think we'll see some more property come on board when some of the changes occur with the government on foreclosures and forbearance and those things come back to life, then there'll be some more properties, I believe, arrive.
I hope so.
I hope so.
Luckily, in Philadelphia County, we have a bunch of inventory here. So if anybody wants to move here.
Wow.
Our stuff. Yeah, we have a lot of listings. They're not all flying off the shelf in a minute. It's just how it is. You know,
why do you think that is? Is that because of they shut down real estate for 3 months?
No. Mm-mm. I think it's in certain price ranges in the city of Philadelphia. You know, okay, so there's a few things. The large office buildings still are not open. People are still working from home. Some will not go back to work. So remote work forever. Okay. People want more space. So they want yard for the kids to run around in, or even for new kids, the big kids, mom and dad that have to spread out. They want dedicated office space. They may not be able to get that in the city because the space they have may be too small. So those are some of the key components of that. One of the other things that I've seen, and I expressed this when this was a year ago, I said, here's what I'm seeing is that the families, young families, wanted to go back to where one of the parents lived. Built-in babysitter, can see mom and dad in case there's another COVID or, you know, they were like, once the things opened up, they were packing, and they were probably packing while they were in the house for the 3 months, four months, because all of a sudden a lot of stuff came up on market and people were going out. But that's one of the things I've talked to that we represented, many families where they said, well, I don't have to go to my office anymore. You know, we can live an hour and a half from Philly, go to Reading where her parents live. And, you know, we lost our babysitter, so we couldn't, or a nanny or whatever. And now the parents are the built-in babysitter. And so family, being closer to family became really important to people. So being boots on the ground, you know, you see a lot of this. So
I'm a grandparent. My wife takes care of our grandchildren a few days a week. And my son is close and, you know, I get it, but boy, having a little inventory right now, you're like a shining star.
Yeah.
Luckily. So, you know, though, I tell people all the time, and this, and look, I'm not the guy in the front. So I've got brilliant people that I have the honor to work with that do that. But we drive by inventory every day.
Yeah,
it's a matter of convincing them to sell and determining what they want next and kind of finding that as well. I know that's way oversimplified. There's probably people going, hey, guy's an idiot. But we still have inventory. It's how do we better serve that inventory up? I think we got to find a better way to do it. Maybe.
Well, it's hidden right now. Meaning the people haven't raised their hand. So the solution, right? Be the solution is the name of our potty. The solution is you reach out to those people. You call them. You send them a letter. You say, you know what? I have a buyer. They just wrote three offers. They didn't get accepted. If you are thinking of buying or downsizing or whatever now, I mean selling, excuse me, we could probably get you an offer without you having to go to market and stage your house and clean out the closets and get rid of all the stuff and get a pod. And go, you know, rent a storage unit. There's a lot that is set that goes into prepping the house for sale that necessarily doesn't need to happen if you can bring somebody to the table that way. And that doesn't mean less money for the seller. That means market money for the seller without having to go through all the aggravation.
Oh, absolutely.
I
think you need to start an information cast and do exactly what you just did. I need you to come talk to my folks because that was excellent. That's why you're good at what you do.
There's always a solution to the problem, Sammy.
I love your solutions. So, it's an open mind.
That's right. That's right. Well, I thank you today.
Thank you.
For being on Be the Solution. You've been a fantastic guest and thank you for being so supportive and a friend. And I'm excited to see you soon in the near future at one of these great events that are all coming up. I'll be getting back in the circuit next week. So,
well, good. Well, great to see you. Thanks for the opportunity. What an honor to spend a little time with you and have a great week.
Thank you. You have a great week.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.